The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Turn him up.
There's no snare in my headphones.
There's no snare.
All right, well, I can hear you guys clearly, and if I'm coming in clearly, I say we just run it.
Yes, I agree, and actually, it sounds really good. So, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go. I'm ready for another episode here. It's a big one. So, hello, and welcome to the NPC Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There's a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And to them, I say, you have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting.
Wow.
That's right. That's right. Which is relevant because our normal co-host, Alex Cordova, is actually out impersonating a noble and winning jousting tournament. So it's going to be like a couple weeks before we see him again.
He's not doing any of that at all.
He's trying. And okay, winning maybe not. But
I think so.
We do have a special guest here to replace him, the protector of Italian virginity. It is Rupert from the Horrible People's Network fame, with Plot Armor Plus as the main podcast of his, as well as Turning Tables. How you doing, buddy?
Fantastic. I don't know about that last statement, but you know what? I'm here to have a good time.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And of course, we got our other guest over here, the protector of his enormous manhood, James Brizuela.
I do protect that very well.
Well, let's cock a doodle thrice. I deny them, so we get to the next. I gotta watch A Knight's Tale again. It's a good fucking movie.
Auric.
I know. Auric. Every time.
Right, podcast. Hello.
Oh, there was another one I was thinking about too before coming in, but I fucking. It's gone for me. It's gone right now.
It's fine.
Yeah, we'll come back. Anyways, yeah, happy to have you on here, Ruben. So thanks for subbing in. And of course, we're going to go through a couple quick bits. You guys both have two sections, so I'll just run through these. And I assume, right, Ruben, you know the formats a little bit.
I actually listened to our podcast.
Hey, there you go. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's good. So, all right, let's run through a couple quick bits. Should really throw a sound bite in there, but you know what? No time. So, Ubisoft announces the Assassin's Creed Red trailer is dropping Thursday, December 21st, right before Christmas. And also announced that Skull and Bones is actually coming out and has a release date for February 2024. We'll see how that turns out. And of course, The Last of Us 2 Remastered is officially announced. It's a $10 upgrade for existing owners. The visuals are upgraded. Lost Levels content and a roguelike mode called No Return are included. And of course, the Lost Levels content will actually be featured in the Season 2 of the HBO show, which is actually delayed because Pedro Pascal is busy.
He's doing things.
Yeah, he's an active boy. Capcom confirms more Resident Evil remakes are coming. So, pretty obvious. I don't know. That's fine. Thank you, Capcom. You've been doing a great job. So, and of course, Xbox CFO says Microsoft wants to bring Game Pass to, quote, every screen that can play games. PlayStation, Nintendo apps incoming? Probably not, since Microsoft actually had to backtrack this statement just days later because of the sheer press that came from it. Another clusterfuck from Microsoft, so we're going to hear a lot of that. And of course, the original Super Mario RPG director would like to make a sequel to the game before he retires, which may be soon. So, you know, let's get this guy some money. Bethesda is actually also responding to negative Steam reviews. Okay, guys?
I have comments.
Come on, man.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well,
come on, man.
Another tragic one here. Anthony Starr has confirmed that he will not be voicing Homelander in Mortal Kombat 1, but he does have a voice in Call of Duty, so he just asks fans to play that game instead if they want to hear his voice. Right, that's good. That's such a... I don't know. That's like a guy who doesn't play games response.
Right, he doesn't understand.
He doesn't get it. That's fine. He's an actor. And of course, the live-action Legend of Zelda movie director Wes Ball wants the film to feel like a live-action Miyazaki movie and is taking direct inspiration from Studio Ghibli. So, way to go, buddy. And lastly, new data suggests that the gaming industry is bigger than both the movie and music industries combined twice over. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, guys, lots of stuff there. But what are your thoughts, team? Ruben, you know, you're new here, so slap it.
Yeah, take it away, sir.
Yes, sir.
Last of Us 2, I would really like to play it, but my heart can't handle that. So I'll just, you know, see videos and stuff after. But I think it's awesome that they're coming out with more content for number 2.
Yeah.
Seeing how big the HBO show was, of course, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think $10 is a good asking price.
Even aside from that, I think I'll go so far as to say that is their crowning achievement, and everybody should play that game because it's unbelievably good, and it has arguably one of my all-time favorite endings. And the hope is they're going to continue the story, but for, you know, obviously it sucks if you didn't already previously buy it, but I'm really happy because I only had to pay $10 to replay it in all its glory on PS5, so I'm super stoked about that.
Nice.
I'm not over the moon excited about the lost levels. I think that's kind of silly, because they're underdeveloped and not finished levels, so it's like, whatever. I think they could have just done a walkthrough as like an extra thing, instead of just letting people walk through an unfinished level. That doesn't make sense to me. But I'm very excited about the roguelike mode. I'm a huge fan of that. So
yeah,
I'm a huge fan of roguelikes, so I'm stoked for that.
Hades and Last of Us, just combine them. That's good.
I mean, sure. Maybe not that much, because Hades, you fight a lot of enemies. and Last of Us, I don't know if you can fight that many enemies at once. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, not a lot of
people. You don't want to.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, I think the lost level aspect of the HBO show makes a lot of sense. Obviously, they're going to go a little bit deeper into, like, I kind of have an idea what they're doing with it. And that's going to be cool. But yeah, I don't really care about playing lost levels on, like, I'm not even going to do that. I just want to replay it on PS5 with all the upgraded visuals and that roguelike. That's what's really excited about it.
Yeah, with all the fixins.
Yeah. Really quick, before this escapes my mind, I wanted to comment on, obviously, Xbox and Microsoft bringing Game Pass to every screen they can play games. I challenge them to do that, because somebody programmed Doom to be playable on a
ATM.
On an ATM,
yeah,
on a refrigerator, and on a pregnancy test. Oh. So
wait, what? Slow roll that one.
Hold on a second.
You didn't see that?
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, no. So they literally programmed the pregnancy test, like the ones that have the screen that tell you if you're pregnant or not. And
what kind of high-speed pregnancy test is this? Oh,
I don't know, but it's the first Doom, if that helps.
Like, but caveat, you can only play Doom if it's a positive result. Well, that's right.
You're pregnant with demon baby.
Doom. Like, listen. Get used to the shitstorm you're about to experience. It's fine.
I challenge Microsoft to be able to do that. Give us games on a refrigerator. Give us games on an ATM. And give us games on a pregnancy test. If you're really serious.
Well, I think they're just bold because Netflix is trying to, like, push games on a streaming service.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Well, I like the idea that they have their own app where you can play mobile games for free because if you have an account. But it's like, dude, who the fuck is going to log on Netflix to play Grand Theft Auto? And, like, you're doing it through the cloud, I'm assuming. So is it really going to be that great? Like, connection-wise, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Microsoft has great... their cloud streaming is actually pretty fantastic, but they paid a lot of money for it. I don't know if Netflix has the same level of quality for that much data. So, What are the thoughts you got, Ruben? What you got?
The live action of The Legend of Zelda. I mean, I'm not happy about it being live action, but I do like their turn up still from, like, Studio Ghibli. I guess if you're going to go any direction, that's probably the direction to go.
I agree. No, I definitely agree. I mean, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom kind of have the Ghibli influence also, so.
No.
Nah?
I don't like it. I'm not with it. I feel if you're going to do it that style, then make it animated.
I agree with that, though.
No. That style is not going to translate well to live action. So I think they're going to go, they're trying to blend too many things, and that's a cause for concern because it might take away from the story itself. I don't know, man. I just don't want Link to talk. They're not gonna do that.
No, so he's gonna talk, dude. He's gonna.
Yeah.
I hope his first line is just a yell.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Here I am. He's gonna sound like the dolphins in the fucking Simpsons. Like
eons ago.
Yes. Eons ago.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, and Sony's involved. Like, ah. It's just a recipe for disaster so far.
I mean,
I'm hopeful. I have to be hopeful.
Yeah, that's true. No.
I mean, I want to be hopeful, but like, I don't know. I'm a little worried because of another trailer that came out recently that I will be talking about.
We're gonna be talking about very soon. That's right.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, I just wanted it to be animated. Really, I really did.
I was hoping they would too, but you know what? I had the same apprehensions about Illumination doing Mario, and it seems like Nintendo reined them in, so I'm hoping they do the same. You know?
I didn't, because I knew it was going to be as silly as all the other movies they made, and those movies are entertaining as hell. So I was like, yeah, let's go, let's see what they got, and it was awesome. So
we did talk a lot of shit on this podcast before, though. You know,
I don't know if I talked a lot of shit. I talked a lot of shit about Chris Pratt.
Not as much as us two, but you're right.
I didn't talk shit about the movie. I was like, okay, I'm not with Chris Pratt, but obviously he did a really good job.
He did do a good.
But I was excited for the movie. I was like, I'm excited. I want to see it, and it was awesome. So
wait, Ruben, what'd you think? What'd you think of the Mario movie?
I actually haven't seen it yet.
What?
Oh, yeah, God. Get off this podcast. I'm that guy. I'll leave.
Well, that was quick, ladies and gentlemen. Holy shit.
Door close animation.
Yep.
Okay, well, check it out. It's on Netflix now. So, you know,
yeah.
You can do it while you're streaming your games, apparently.
No, I don't stream anything but Crunchyroll, so.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah, anything else before we move on? I'm gonna run through a couple of these things also.
I still 100% do not believe that Anthony Starr is not voicing Homelander. I just don't. I think he's being a dick because he plays a dickish character, and I think he's sticking to that. And honestly, I believe that he's doing that to dick with fans even more because that's just his MO. I think he's voicing Homelander. And I refuse to believe that they couldn't come up with enough money to pay him to voice Homelander. Like, it's so bizarre that they can get John Cena and J.K. Simmons, but they can't get Anthony Starr. And that's not a slight against him. I'm just saying, like, they forked over the money for those guys. I'm sure they forked out the movie for Anthony Starr. Like,
they have nothing left.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, they ran out of superstar money right there. They're like, ooh.
Nah, dude, fucking, NetherRealm has so much money, dude. There's no fucking way. There's no way.
I mean,
like, it would be criminal if somebody else is voicing Homelander in Mortal Kombat.
Well, we're going to find out soon. So, yeah, no, I'm kind of with you on that, though. I feel like you should at least get the trio, you know? They're the big names on the DLC, after all.
Yeah.
And then, for me, I would say the one thing that I really enjoy from these quick bits, with this round in particular, besides the obvious, like, Capcom doing more Resident Evil remakes, and then Bethesda... Stupid. Just responding. So stupid. Stop it. Just stop it. It's fine. You know, people are hit and miss about your game. Let the modders fix it, and then, you know, just reaping the rewards like you do with Skyrim. It's fine. I do like, though, that the gaming industry really is fucking... It's blazing past so many other mediums. I mean, there's a lot of more money that goes into gaming and producing a game than, like, you know, an indie film or, like, an album. But, you know, obviously, it pays off.
Right on cue every time we record.
Yeah.
Apparently my dog is very upset at that.
Oh, he's just like, are you fucking telling me that we're going to the record companies? Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, I totally forgot about Bethesda real quick. I wanted to comment on that. It's like, dude, why? Like, is at this point, do you really think that's going to help? Like, dude, they pumped so much bullshit attention into this game. And, you know, not that they're not supposed to do that, but the way that they were doing that, like, this is like the revolutionary game for Microsoft, you know what I mean? Like, this is it. And it wasn't. And it's like, dude, just take the L. And like you said, you can fix it. Look what happened to Cyberpunk. They fucking fixed it from being horrible. And now everybody loves that game. And they dropped a bunch of updates. Do that. Just make it better. And everybody would be like, you know what? It started off rough, but now it's like one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
With the almost like, I don't know, No Man's Land or No Man's Sky, nope. I mean.
Yeah, No Man's Sky. There you go.
I mean, they've released like 25 free updates and everybody loves it now. I don't know, Starfield, Microsoft. You know, come on.
Yeah.
Todd Howard.
What's right. up? Come on, Todd. Fucking. Oh, wait. What do you think, Ruben? You play, what do you call Starfield, right?
Yeah, I played it for like a week and a half and immediately went to Liza P.
Yeah, I feel you on that one.
It's, I don't know if we're talking about it more later, but it's just too, I hate that I'm about to say that. It's too big, but in a bad way where you have to travel in space a lot. And unlike the other, I can speak words, other like, you know, like Elder Scrolls, yeah, it's big, there's a lot of traveling, but you're able to really do a lot during the travel. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the random encounters for when you're in space are pretty cut and dry and the same. So it makes space kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be floating around for an hour trying to find the place. If it was me, I would have made the universe, quote unquote, the space smaller and make the planets bigger. So like there's only maybe 10 planets to go to in total, but each of the 10 feel miraculously different. That's how you make like a space game. That's my opinion.
That's a much better game you're talking about right there. Yeah.
Yeah, like we talked about that on the podcast and they were saying that the purpose of like the empty planets too was that it was supposed to mimic space. And it's like, dude, you're making a video game. Like, we're not making something that's supposed to be that realistic. Like, you know, if you go to a planet, you're expecting to find something there. Yeah. And otherwise, like, what is the point of it being there? You're gonna run around on a desolate planet with fucking, and it took you 20 minutes to get to that planet. Like, come on, man.
Oh, that's a, you described the gameplay loop pretty well there for not having played the game.
It's actually I watched videos and I was like, maybe I'm wrong. And then I just saw it and I was like, yeah, this looks stupid. And again,
there's a lot of planets that just have open space.
Yeah.
And, like literal open space.
And I've been harping on this for a while and I'm still going to keep harping on it. But No Man's Sky, when you went to a new planet, there was a new race. There was new languages to discover, new plants, new animals, all that. And every single planet. And there was shit tons of planets, and it's like you could have just done something like that. It might have been like a little bit of easy way to get out of that, like be like, okay, well, you're just kind of like making similar races, different colors, whatever, but it's something for people to be like, okay, well, at least I discovered something on that planet. It wasn't a waste of my time.
Yeah, or do the Mass Effect thing where you're like, if it's an empty planet, just go to the menu, mine your resources, do a little mini game and run. You don't need to be on there. You don't need to be on there. And also, you know, who cares about being realistic? Mass Effect, you can fuck the aliens. How about that? It's a great, interesting gameplay feature, at least. You know? Yeah.
There he goes. Homeboy fucked the Martian one.
Hey. It's a good trilogy.
I don't want to hear it over there, Baldur's Gate.
Hey, look, man. That game was made for you to have sex with stuff, okay? So that's not my fault.
That's Mass Effect, but for fantasy nerds.
That's true. That's true. Very, very true.
Look, man. You know, the moment they posted the story about the bear, you know, I was like, all right.
The bear, yeah.
I was like, all right.
So how do I fuck this bear?
Yeah, so how does bear sex happen in the world of Baldur's Gate?
What is the logistics?
Do we need assistance? Oh, okay.
I will say, the entire time I've been playing the game, I have only fantasy fucked one person, and that's kind of upsetting. Because by the time I started playing it, they were already like, you know, getting that out, because apparently, like, in the beginning, everybody, all the NPCs were just throwing themselves at you, and now that's not the case. You have to earn their respect. Stupid.
Oh, they fixed the bugs on it?
Yeah, they fixed the bugs. Yeah, the horny bug, if you will.
You're like, can I just start off like a Chad, please? Is that a character option?
Look, man, my guy's a barbarian, dude. You're just going around, you're just wrecking shit, and you're just banging everything you can. That's just the way it is.
That sounds like, I gotta play this game. This sounds great. All right.
Oh, now you're sold?
Like, hold on a second. That sounds fun.
When it comes to Xbox, I'll let you know.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So now that we're done with the quick bits, we got some big news stories coming up. So we're going to make main three. So Ruben, can you take over and and talk about the big dog.
Indeed I can. GTA 6, the trailer has been revealed with some drama. Rockstar has finally revealed the new trailer for GTA 6. It is set to take place in Vice City. Good old Vice City. Features two protagonists, one male and one female, as leaked before, and pretty much squashed any viewership record across the internet. What, it was like 20 million in the first day or something like that?
Yeah, it defeated Mr. Beast, like, yeah, within seconds. Ridiculous.
The game world and trailer were leaked prior to the reveal, most likely by a Rockstar Games employee's son who put everything on TikTok. Idiot. Developers at Rockstar were pissed, but the internet is generally pretty happy with it. Thoughts?
I immediately text the thread and I was like, it's Bonnie and Clyde, and I was really excited about that.
Yeah.
I love that they're not copying what they did before and doing three characters instead of just doing the two. And we don't even know yet if you're gonna be able to switch between the two, but I like the dynamic of a Bonnie and Clyde type of relationship. And I'm really excited, first and foremost, because it's a female protagonist for the first time, which is gonna be cool.
Yeah.
And then I hope, this is just my hope, but my idea right now is that there's gonna be some sort of co-op allowed.
Same. Yeah.
Where you can jump into your friend's games and play as one as the male character. That would be really cool. Not the whole game. It doesn't have to be the whole game, but maybe certain instances or missions or whatever. Or the whole game. I don't care. I want to see co-op. That would be cool in a GTA game.
Campaign co-op in particular, I think, would be
pretty awesome. For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Ruben? What you think?
Same thing. The two protagonists did make me think, definitely, like, for some reason it gave me San Andreas feels, because when the mm-hmm. second co-op pops in, it's like his girlfriend or whatever. Looking at this trailer, this is Florida Man Simulator.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
it looks like that. Yeah.
It looks like, I mean, alligator, excuse me, this is North America. Alligators walking into the convenience stores, random half naked mm-hmm. guys just yelling at you on the street. Like, it low key looks super wild, but I'm into it. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Not to mention the gigantic ass physics that seems to be very present. Right. Throughout the entire thing.
The twerking, I was like, wow, they never did I think the day where twerking would be added to a video game. So you know, here we are,
and a record amount of people have seen that as jiggle virtually, which is you know, way to go, America.
It looks super fun. I'm super excited for it. I'm wondering a lot about how the online play is gonna go. I'm hoping they go a little bit differently, just because we've been playing the last online for 10 years, so...
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't care. I don't want them to put a focus on that in the beginning. I know everybody's excited about that, but, like, I don't play GTA for that reason. I play it for, like, the single player, the storyline, which is always amazing. And you know what? I'll agree to that. Maybe if they do something different this time around, Ruben, you know, they do something like, mm-hmm. you know... I don't know. Maybe they set up modes where it's like you can play deathmatch, or, you know, I don't know. Like, yeah. And more straightforward multiplayer, not like the open sandbox playground that everybody runs into. I don't know. I don't know what I want from multiplayer, but yeah, something different for sure.
Yeah, but you know what? They ain't gonna sell the shark cards that way. The gator cards probably this time.
Gator cards.
But yeah.
The gator cards. Yeah. You're right. For sure. I mean, they're obviously gonna do it because like that. The multiplayer alone made so much money. Like,
we've talked about these numbers on the podcast. Yeah. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Yeah, I can't remember the last figure we had, but even then, it was a couple months ago. It was like insane. You know what though? I agree with everything you guys are saying, and my biggest takeaway that I noticed immediately is the graphics are so much better. Mm-hmm. The graphics are vastly improved. GTA was never a graphical powerhouse, really, because, you know, obviously it's a big game and you gotta be pretty simple in some ways to pull that stuff off on one thing, but it's a good showcase of how far these machines have come. So, you know, if the final product looks close to this, bring on the gunfights and tons of NPCs and ass physics. Like, clearly they can handle it, so.
Let's see. There's nothing that I can find that's updated, but as of June... 7.7 billion.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Jesus
Christ. All right, well.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is in June, so who knows how much more. And plus, like, the spike in sales they're probably going to have because the trailer's out now.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and then also leading up until when it comes out that everyone's going to want to get caught up. So there might be more sales happening then.
Even I wanted to re-download 5, but I live in Los Angeles, so it's GTA every fucking day anyways. So it's fine.
Yeah, this one time, Fuen got ran over and then lit on fire, and they stole the money back from him.
Yeah, yeah. Good old he Koreatown, baby.
He was fine.
It was back when he was a hooker. It was really tough when he moved out to L.A. at first.
That's how you pay for the deposit right there. Oh, all right, James. I know you were waiting for this one, huh?
Yeah. Woo! Hey. Sure. All right, Amazon Prime Fallout trailer premieres. The newest game adaptation is set for a 2024 release. Amazon's Fallout debuted a new trailer which shows the Wasteland set in Los Angeles and includes a female protagonist, surprise, surprise, Rad Roaches, Walton Goggins as a ghoul, the Brotherhood of Steel, and a surprising amount of humor, stupid. Will this follow the recent trend of good game adaptations? No. Can Jonathan Nolan pull this one off? Definitely no. Discuss.
Come on.
I'm sorry, dude. Like, that trailer, no. That trailer 100% killed it for me. I did not like it at all. I was like, ah, oh, no. It felt like Halo. Like, I had to...
Oh, don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare.
I'm sorry. Look, man. Like, I don't like the premise. I don't like it.
Okay, what about the premise is icking you a little bit on this one?
Because it's like... The female protagonist, oh, I gotta go outside. Like, dude, come on. Like, there's so many more better premises that they came up in the games for people. Like, Fallout 4, sorry, spoiler, this game's been out for a while, people, but...
Oh, wow. You know, almost 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, your wife is killed and your baby's kidnapped, so you go out into the world to try to find them. Like, that's a good reason, not just, I have to go outside. Like, why? Well, okay.
A whole new world.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's funny.
I mean, I love Walton Goggins, and he looked awesome.
He looked great. So
he looked awesome, but I don't know, man. I just...
Chris Parnell, too. Chris Parnell's in there also.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. What you think, Ruben?
Oh, didn't they show the Handybot, too?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They showed the Handybot, that's mm-hmm. right.
Visually, it looks fine. I mean, I don't have nothing against it visually. The only thing, and this is gonna be a only me problem. So,
sorry, world. All right.
The aircraft in the very beginning, it reminds me too much of a V-22 Osprey, which is the aircraft I used to work on, and it. For some reason, the design of that aircraft annoyed the hell out of me. I don't know why. It was like this weird back tail rotor, and it looked like a fish. And I was like, I hate this helicopter.
They're like, functionally, this makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah, it hurt my soul to look at, and I don't know why. That's just veteran brain for me. Besides that, I mean, like I said, visually, it looks great. Story, don't really care. If it gets a lot of good reviews that it turns out that it's actually real good, like Twisted Metal did, maybe I'll give it a peek, but
yeah. I'm with you on that. That's a good point, because like from here I can tell, like, I think it looks good. The protagonist itself does seem a little bland, like almost like an analog for the viewer. To me, it's probably going to be more about like the Wasteland side stories. I don't think there's going to be a strong through line, because then they would start with a better premise than whole new world. Like, I don't know. But
you know, sorry not to cut you off, but you know what they should have done? Did you ever see Hardcore Henry?
No.
Okay, so Hardcore Henry is a movie that's done entirely in first person perspective. That's what they should have done. It should have been an unnamed person, i.e. the player, i.e. you, going into the world of Fallout. That's what it should have been.
Oh, that would have been interesting. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Watch Hardcore Henry. Check it out.
Yeah, that's the first person one, right?
It's really good.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, yeah, they're not, I don't know. It, to me, like, okay, so with this, it seems like they're playing something safe. But yeah, it's still Fallout, which is kind of what I'm weighing on it. Like, Halo, for as weird as it was, it definitely tried way too hard to do something different, and it didn't work at all. And this one isn't having that issue. It seems like it's trying to be too much Fallout 1-to-1, but I think Fallout has such a strong, unique premise. There's a possibility that it really, really works. But Amazon itself is really back and forth when it comes to what they actually output. So I'm hoping this is not a Lord of the Rings show repeat. Let's not have the Rings of Power happen again.
I forgot about that too. Like, yeah, I didn't even like. Yeah, they threw so much money at it just to make it this like overproduced shit show.
Yes, I don't want an overproduced shit show. All right, yeah. just give me Walton Goggins being an asshole and like coming across some crazy side stories happening in the wasteland. Like, make it fun.
Did they show a Deathclaw? I don't know if they showed one or not.
No, but that'd be great one. When that happens, though. Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know.
They don't have enough CGI budget to show Deathclaw on the trailer.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, there you go. You mean with all the other CGI they fucking packed in there? Like, look at this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the roach budget, dude.
The roach
budget. Yeah, it was all the roaches, yeah.
And that poorly constructed airplane.
It was
too much CGI to make it seem like Walton Goggins didn't have a nose. And they're like, sorry, we can't show a Deathclaw. My bad.
It's like the Henry Cavill mustache debacle all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great. I can't think of a good transition for this one. It's fun. Hey, Super Nintendo World just got a new edition. That's right.
Hey.
Yep. Nintendo World Japan will be debuting, because I can't spell, a new Donkey Kong-based theme park alongside the Mushroom Kingdom. Star attraction will actually be Donkey Kong's Crazy Cart, which is based on the Donkey Kong Returns designs. The new power-up bands will be available, but you can still use your old ones to discover Kong letters spread across the park and, of course, other side activities, similar to the current Nintendo Land. And, of course, no word on the restaurant, but bananas will likely be featured on the menu, I assume. So,
you missed a crucial part of this story.
What happened?
And that's the Kong's Crazy Cart ride will actually be a ride in which the carts will leap. And
I did miss that part. What?
Define leap.
Exactly. Good fucking luck, Japan, because I am not going to be the first person on that ride.
Yes.
The roller coaster will feature some sort of function where the cart will literally leap off the track. So that is frightening beyond measure. Good luck. I hope nobody dies in the beginning. I mean, Japan knows what they're doing, so I have all the faith in the world in them. But when they bring it to America, no thank you.
I just don't trust Americans not to be like stand up in the ride and be like, oh, fucking yo, bro. Like, that's going to cause some mayhem right there. You know?
Yeah. They increase the weight capability.
They are definitely going to have to adjust the weight for the USA folks.
So for the hefty ones, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me confirm this, but I saw that and I was like, dear God, no.
If it leaps with the... Oh my God, that'd actually be scary as fuck. I mean, the I don't know.
It sounds frightful.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, I read that and I was like, nah, I'm good.
But also, like, of course Nintendo would, though. They'd be like, no, we gotta really nail the authenticity here. They're like, dudes, this is, like, hard.
Let's see, where was it at?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, whatever, dude. Okay. So have you been to Nintendo Land?
Okay. Robin? Here we go. From IGN on the IGN Instagram. Sorry. It says, Super Nintendo World's Donkey Kong Country area has finally been unveiled for Universal Studios Japan, including Star Attraction Donkey Kong's Crazy Cart, a minecart roller coaster that jumps over gaps.
What? Gaps? Plural?
Yeah. Gaps. Plural.
No.
Just no.
Yeah. That's. I mean, if it's not really doing that, but it also gives you the function to collect the Kong letters, that would be really cool. But, well, you know, with the power up band. But yeah, jumping gaps is frightening beyond measure.
Oh, no. I'm not down with that. I don't want to see some YouTube video of just like some true crime British person being like, and then the one time the ride, like that's bound to happen. I'm not with
black and white. It was a great time until dun dun.
Yes, it you know the videos. Yes.
Yeah, they can keep that. That's scary.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out, because Japan's gonna do it first. But hey, you know what? Nintendo World itself is fantastic. I quite like it. If you got the bands, are good. So yeah, I don't know. Let's see how it goes, and then I don't know. I mean, whatever. Mario's fun. I could always just stay in the Mario section. I just hope the restaurant's good. So,
I just got on Ride of the Resistance for the first time at Disneyland, and it uses like a magnetic system. So maybe it's that. Maybe they're gonna jump the gap, so to speak, but just magnetic system where you're not in danger, in any way? I don't know. That's scary. It's scary to think about.
Yeah. No. Are any more thoughts on this, Ruben?
Yeah, hopefully people who are smarter than us has figured this out already.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure, dude. I'm sure.
No, that's a good prep. Hopefully. I mean, we're not theme park designers. We're podcasters here, so we can only speculate. But yeah, worst case scenario thinking, it's hard to imagine this going well.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the self-driving cars. How many of those killed people before they got it right? And then they still don't have it right. Anyway.
Oh, my
God. Was it like the perilous plunge killed people, like, what, 16 years after it was put into effect?
It did?
Really?
Perilous plunge? You remember the perilous plunge over at Berry Farm? Yeah, that's why they took it out. Yeah. That's why they took it out.
What? It killed people?
It flipped over or some shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this was ages ago. You guys didn't know
that? I did not know that. No, I never read about that. Holy shit. Yeah,
when you get a second, Google it. Like,
I'm Googling it right now.
Perilous plunge doesn't exist anymore because I think the legend is that it flipped over, but I think what really happened is somebody slipped out of their restraints because it's just that flat bar.
Because it's a perilous plunge.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Well, that and the Superman ride cut off somebody's feet. Like, all these things have happened. You know?
Yeah, it's said.
Yeah, how many times have you been on that ride?
No.
Like, it could have been me.
A guest fell 100 feet to her death. I don't know how. Let's see.
Okay, yeah.
Didn't mean to derail the podcast.
No, this is great. But also, please, Nintendo, I hope you're listening. We do not want a perilous plunge scenario.
Dang, it was the second time in less than a month that a visitor died at Knott's. Oh, okay.
I mean, it's Knott's, though. I can kind of...
Okay, this one's not... This one doesn't count, though, because it was somebody that ruptured or had a brain aneurysm on Montezuma's Revenge. So that's not directly related to an accident on the actual ride itself.
Yeah, but it's somebody having an aneurysm in the middle of that fucking leap. Ah.
Wow, it happened in 2000... This happened in 2001? Dude...
We're blowing James's mind right now.
I never knew this. I used to get on that ride all the damn time.
You're like, let me do it again, Mom. Let me do it again.
Yeah, knowing that you were inching closer to death every time.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You should put "I survived perilous plunge," but like literal.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
You're like, not everybody can buy that shirt, Ruben. So... Yeah. All right. Now we're moving on. We're almost done here. We got a couple leaky rumors to talk about. Ruben, go ahead and take this one since I took the quick bits.
Borderlands 4 and Tiny Tina's Wonderland 2 potentially leaked? ? A developer who worked at support studios Lost Boys Interactive referenced Borderlands 4, Tiny Tina's Tiny Tina's Wonderland 2, and an unannounced Brother in Arms game in a now deleted LinkedIn post. This is all happening as Embracer Group is struggling to sell Borderlands developer Gearbox as they complete restructure of their business. Discuss.
Embracer Group.
Yeah, they're the worst.
They are the worst. I agree.
This totally makes sense. Tiny Tina's Wonderland. I haven't played it, but everybody said it was awesome. And I just feel like anytime Borderlands makes a game, everybody likes it.
Yeah, it's a good series.
Yeah.
It's a very, very consistent series, I would say.
Right. That is kind of sad, though, that they're having trouble selling Gearbox.
Yeah, well, from what I read, this is a make-or-break moment. A lot of the articles were like if they don't make money, like, a certain amount after these games get released, the studio's done. Like this is them having to really
How much did they make on Borderlands 3? Like, was it not enough? That's crazy.
I think the question you should be asking is how badly did Embracer Group mismanage the money they made from Borderlands 3?
Operative
more accurate. Yeah, no way Borderlands 3 didn't make a bunch of money.
Yeah. No, there's no way. Like, yeah, but Embracer Group went and bought everything up, so they're probably. They went and bought, I don't know how many studios up, and now they're probably like, oh shit, look at us, we took too much on.
Yeah, they're closing many more of them.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, so I'll get some, that's going to be in my fail, actually. There's one other big one that they're, you know, it's actually bad news for it. But, you know, I mean, if there's any three types of, I haven't seen a Brother in Arms game in so long.
They have 135 studios under their... banner.
Damn.
That Jesus is insane. Priest. Yeah. that engaging more than 15,500 employees in more than 40 countries. 135, that's so many.
Yeah, they spread out too thin.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And that's sad, man, because Gearbox is like, Borderlands has been, like Fuente said, it's been consistently good. Like, I played the first three, and I loved all three of them, so that sucks if they go under and they don't make another one.
They're making a movie. It's popular enough for them to get, like, big actors in a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be good, but, like, you know, they obviously wanted to put the money behind it, so.
I'm ready for a B-list Borderlands movie.
There you go. That's the only way to do it.
Whoa. It's going to be very cheek. I think it's going to be, like, Starship Trooper feel.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like, kind of serious, but there's a lot of nonsense in it. Like, I feel like it's going to be, like, a cult classic like that.
Yeah. It definitely has a cast to be that. I feel like it's definitely like that kind of out there zany cast that's going to work really well. Kind of like Jumanji. Mm-hmm. Like, I love those movies, and I think it's going to be something like that. Where, yeah, it's a big ensemble cast, but I think they're all going to work well together to make everybody, like, go, oh, yeah, this was cool. Like, they should do another one.
Yeah, it seems like that's the tone they're going for sure. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But honestly, just spare Gearbox, please. They're good people over there. They're good. They make good games, goddammit. Like, Embracer Group, ugh.
Yeah, like the Borderlands, the mainline games, and then Tiny Tina, and then also the Tales of the Borderlands. Like, come on.
Yeah.
They're all good.
Yeah, I mean, even the Gearbox stuff that they've worked on, I don't have a list in front of me, but like every time I see Gearbox on a project, it's never a bad project, to be honest with you. So... yeah.
Let's see.
I don't know.
Let's see. What do they got?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Duke Nukem. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they did the Duke Nukem games. That's right.
They're supposed to revive that, too. Brothers in Arms. I forgot about that, too. Damn, dude. Wait, they did Half-Life? Oh, they did do Half-Life.
Dude, I think they did
Counter-Strike. Yeah, and yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, what the hell?
They're a great studio. Yeah. So, hey, Embracer Group, don't fuck this for us, please. that's my take.
Yeah, it's a good take.
All right, James, you got one more, and then we got some good stuff coming.
This is a big one. Spider-Man 2 reportedly only utilized 10% of Venom's dialogue, as confirmed by the voice actor himself, who is Tony Todd. The Venom dialogue in Spider-Man 2 was mostly cut in the final product, with the biggest pertaining to scenes with Venom and Miles Morales. A reason for this is the sheer amount of villains in Spider-Man 2, according to some sources. Will we see some more of this in the future? Discuss. To add to this very leaky rumor, there was a rumor going around that Spider-Man 2 was going to do what Spider-Man did, in that they released an additional game, which was Miles Morales. He had his own story. It wasn't that long, but it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The rumor is they're going to be releasing a standalone Venom story as well. That's also obviously going to tie into the mainline story and carry into Spider-Man 3.
That's a smart move right there. That'd be great.
You could play as Venom?
I don't know.
That would be actually kind of dope. Like, just a Venom sound alone. Like, Venom... I don't know the storyline of Spider-Man 2, because I own an Xbox. But assuming there's Venom still around at the end of Spider-Man 2, I think that would be kind of dope, because there is, like, the anti-hero thread of Venom that you could kind of pull at just to lead you into the next story. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the storyline of Spider-Man 2, but I think running around as, like, a more brutish Spider-Man, Venom just wrecking. I think that sounds awesome.
We're not giving a fuck. I'm with that. That sounds fun.
We talked about this before on the podcast, but there's a game called Ultimate Spider-Man that lets you do exactly that. You were able to either play as Spider-Man and or Venom, and obviously Venom was more monstrous, and you could literally kill people, random people, to get your health back. I could totally see them doing that. Venom is a huge, huge, huge antagonist of Spider-Man, so obviously, you know, he's the main focal point of the new game. So if that's what they're really planning, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It
sounds like it's within Insomniac's business model too. So, you know, if they keep the train going, I think it'll work. And obviously, if they're cutting that much dialogue, they chose a different direction and want to do something with this character. So I think a full-on game would be the right assumption to make.
There is also, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but the rumor that Spider-Man exists in the, or Wolverine is going to exist in the same world.
Yeah.
So the same universe. So if they were to do a standalone Venom game, who's to say they're not going to bridge the gap and be like, introduce Venom at the end of that? I mean, excuse me, introduce Wolverine at the end of that. And then there can be a Spider-Man and Wolverine team up like in the comics. What's up?
Or maybe like a third party X-Men, like the Juggernaut shows up to confirm like, oh, these universes are together.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about building a team. Like,
I don't want to say much because one's going to eventually play it.
True.
But
true.
I will say that there is a lot going on in the second game. And for fans of Spider-Man, you will love it. I will just say that.
Man, Phil got a PS5 before me. Motherfucker.
I know, man. Shout out to Phil. Christ. By the time this episode comes, no, he will have it after. Anyway.
Yeah, either way,
We want to pre-congratulate Phil on getting a PS5.
Yeah.
Now he gets to play this amazing game along with the first two, which were awesome.
That's right. Congratulations, buddy. You know, let me just pay the tax man, then we're okay. All right. God, I fucking hate these guys. Anyways, so now we're moving on. Now we're good. And then for this, did we get it right this week? Our latest segment, which is actually so much fun. It's a light news week. So you know what? We had fun with Instagram's little trend that was going around about a week ago. It was Instagram's sixth game that described you. And we all did it actually. So, which is great because, you know, there's stuff that obviously very fundamental games to our, personality. So I got my list. I'm sure I don't know if you guys have your list handy, but
yeah,
I have the pictures.
Yeah. I got the pictures too. I can read them off. But yeah, let's hear what your lists are. And then, you know, how right do you feel they are after having posted it and, been part of this trend? You know, so Ruben, kick us off, man.
Alrighty. So not in any particular order, but I guess I could figure out after I say it. My six were Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Cool.
Star Fox 64. All right. Halo Reach.
That's a good
Kingdom
one.
Hearts 2. Dante's Inferno, the old classic Xbox 360 game.
Okay,
and
that's a
Bloodborne.
Deep cut.
Oh, Bloodborne Night. Damn. Yeah. You got some anguish in that, that list right
there.
Yeah,
I got a lot of self-hate in this one. Yeah.
You can see, like, happy Ruben is a child, and they're like, man, it's getting darker as he keeps progressing.
you can see how I grew up.
Oh, that's a good. All right, James, what's your list?
I didn't even think about that until you pointed
out. I know, just like, wow. Okay. It's like Dante's Inferno, Bloodborne, holy. Does it get darker?
So they actually made an anime based on that game, Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
So if anybody's never played it, go watch the anime. It's pretty good.
Nice. Yeah.
I watched Lano play it, and I was like, oh, okay, this is right up your alley. It's a total, like, hack and slash, like, Devil May Cry type of game. I never played it, but I watched him play it, and I was like, okay, that looks kind of cool, but yeah, I wasn't really that interested in it, but he told me the story was really good, so I'm assuming it is.
I heard the story is really good, too. Honestly, saw the list, Ruben, holy shit. Like, Star Fox 64 also is a very strong, like...
Oh, such a good game, though. I have my old school N64 in my apartment still, and it's slotted with Star Fox 64 in the cartridge right now.
Yeah, no, yes. That's a highly replayable game right there. And obviously, Ocarina is also very fundamental. I'm Nintendo boy right there. I still wish I played Bloodborne, though. That's the one that...
Yeah, I don't.
You still can.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if I get this PS5
just get a PlayStation, then you can play it.
I know,
right? Yeah, just get a PS4. Get a PS4. They're probably going on sale soon.
I need that American money.
I sold mine like for like $200, I think.
Oh, there's one in my parents' place. Maybe I can keep trying to get. I keep forgetting when I go over there. But
yeah. Stealing.
Yeah, I'll just take it from my nephews.
Just take one. Take it from my
nephews. Yeah, it's fine. So wait. So you had Dante's Inferno. It was
Halo Reach.
Oh, Halo, dude. That's ending.
That's what did it for me. Like, it was a great story until the very end, where it's like last mission. Spoilers, I guess, for Halo Reach for fucking 15 years ago. it just survive its last mission, literally just to fight as physically long as possible. And then the ending where your Spartan takes its helmet off, and it's just, it was like, I don't know, it was like a turning point mentally for younger Ruben, just knowing that you went on this entire crazy journey just to end up dying. Like, it was wild. I don't know.
It's one of the darkest moments in gaming for me, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. Like, I don't know. That's five. We had one more in there, right?
Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh, shit. Okay. Mm. Oh, okay.
I tried playing those games, but there's so fucking many of them that I don't understand.
Like, yeah. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I didn't jump in at the beginning. Like, I got one for the 3DS, and I started playing it. It was supposed to be 1 and 2, but it was like 1 and 2 mashed together. It was so confusing.
So the first Kingdom Hearts game came out on PS2, and then the sequel, as far as timeline, came out on the Game Boy. So you had to have, in order to play the entire series when it was coming out, you had a PS2, a Game Boy, a PSP, a DS... And then I think 2 came out on PS4. So, like, to get the entirety of the story, you had to have all these systems already. Which, that's now, cool. You have the beauty of, they have the remix versions, the 1.5 and 2.5, where basically they remastered the games and put them all together so you could play them all at once. Like, instead of doing the tedious magic I had to do to get the story. But
hey, you were in that, though. You were in that story back then.
I, you know what, like, in to this day, like, it still confuses me a little bit. And even though I'm a day oneer since I played the game, but I don't know, out of the whole series, two was just, three just came out, what was it, back in 2016?
Yeah.
We were waiting 15 years for that damn game, and it was only pretty good. Two out of the whole series is the crowning diamond achievement out of all those games. Two was just a solid ass game. Yeah. I just recently replayed it because I saw it on Game Pass, and I was like, yes sir, I'm doing all of it.
It's
right
on Game
now.
Pass?
It was, yeah. I don't know if it is still, but they have 1.5 on Game Pass, which is like the first four games.
Okay, well, I guess I have to do that now.
Yeah, if you want the jump, you want to jump into Kingdom Hearts and lose your mind over the Disney characters, the Final Fantasy characters fighting in the same place, it gets confusing very quickly.
Okay, all right.
I think I played Kingdom Hearts 352 days or whatever.
356 and a half or something
like that.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
I think that was the one I played, and I was like, I don't know what's going on, and this is kind of stupid.
It's funny because you need knowledge from the second game, Chain of Memories, and two to even know who those characters are.
Yeah.
See, I mean, again, I didn't have like a PlayStation to play the original or anything, and I was like, I'm just gonna try this one. I got it for cheap, and I started playing, and I was like, I don't understand anything.
Who are you people?
Yeah, basically.
I just want to hit things with my keyblade, goddammit.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Well, you know, I'll go through mine, James. You can top it off for us.
Sure.
But my list is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Nice. So, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, but it's really an analog for the whole goddamn series. Fallout New Vegas, Super Mario 64, Resident Evil 4, and, of course, Lee Carvallo's Putting Challenge.
I was laughing when you put, this is the real list. They still had that on there.
I got to throw a Simpsons reference. I almost did it for the film one, too, but I was like, I couldn't find the right McBain poster. But it honestly, though, I'd replace that with Red Dead Redemption. That would be the other six.
First or second?
One. Red Dead 1. Okay. Yeah. Now give me my Marston full-on story. And then just to run through real quick, I mean, Breath of the Wild to me is one of the most important games I've probably ever played, you know? It's one of those very personal games that I was like, always wanted a Zelda to play like this, that level of freedom. And then, you know, when you're like a depressed 30-year-old, it's perfect, perfect game to figure your life out with. So, yeah, it's a great game. Mario 64 is one of the most fundamental transformative games of my entire life. Seeing Mario in 3D for the first time was honestly a brilliant memory. Very, very hard to replicate. And then also my first completion ever, 120 stars, got them all.
Dang.
Got to see Yoshi, did it. Took like 2 years as a child, but you know, You put the time in. So,
yeah. What else are you doing?
Right? That I had to make. Yeah, Mario 64 was just, I don't know. I'm sure you guys all had a memory with it back in the day now. Like, it's
right here. I got it right here.
There you go. And, you know, Smash Brothers has been, and James can attest to this, it's just been a part of our being as a group. Since we were, like, 14.
Yeah.
Like, literally since we were children, James and Cordova would come to my house.
Yep.
On weekends, and we'd have Melee, and we would all, like, this is where the shit talking started.
It really is.
We would talk shit the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking weekend time. All right, we're going to Fuente's place. We're going to get some pizzas. We'll slap on Smash Brothers, and we're going to play the arcades in the garage, and then we'll do some shit outside or whatever it was. But it was a really, formative game that we have never stopped with. And I put Ultimate here because, honestly, to me, it's the best one. And I think at this point, our characters are so defined. They are essentially our personality. So, yeah. And then, obviously, the other ones, too. Like, Fallout New Vegas, it's the best Fallout. Fallout's one of the most important game series to me. The fact that it's so morally gray, I think, is something that's missing in a lot of games. Like, a lot of them give you, like, you're good or you're evil or, like, whatever. But I'm sure Baldur's Gate can attest to this, too. Like, you know, there's a lot of nuances in dialogue and choices and character that, they're very profound. Like, it really makes you question your own morality as you progress through the game. And New Vegas does this fantastically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then, obviously, Resident Evil 4, that's a revolutionary game. Like, you know, the over-the-shoulder. It just, to me, I can still play it. It's one of the best-paced games, like, ever made. Second to Lee Carvello's Putting Challenge, clearly.
Is it just putting?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, no. So, yeah, that's my justifications for these games. But, like, yeah, you know, I don't know if you guys obviously have a relationship with similar ones, too. But, yeah, they're just important stuff for me. So, very, very personal picks. Lee Carvello excluded, but it's fine.
No, it's personal.
Right? No, yeah. It's a little Simpsons reference in there. It's good. It's a little Airborne. It's still good.
It's still good.
No, solid list. Minus the... Well, I mean, no, including the putting color,
Yeah. All right, James. What you got?
I normally don't participate in these things on Instagram because I just don't care about social media that much. But the game one, I was like, let me try to do this. Let me try to put together a list. I immediately regretted... a couple decisions. Not regretted, but I was like, damn, it was really hard.
It was hard. But, six is hard.
Yeah, yeah. So my list is Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, nice. Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, Batman Arkham Asylum, Disco Elysium, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater.
I mean, that's a solid fucking list.
Those are all really good games.
Honestly, I would have probably dropped Thousand Year Door for like Counter-Strike because Counter-Strike is like the end all be all like first person shooter to me. And I'm playing CS2 now. I was like, eh. But anyway, I think these games, especially every single one of them, have incredibly good storylines that like I feel have never been replicated or topped.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil Biohazard, I know 4 is your favorite, but this one, this is like, I'm not a game replayer. I play a game and then I'm like, I'm good, you know? And I've beaten Resident Evil Biohazard like 4 times.
Isn't it insane how it's still scary when you replay it though?
100%. And like, I love it for that reason. Like I would beat it and then I would wait like 6 months and then play it again. And I would still get freaked out.
Yeah.
And for me, it was such an important game because it brought back the horror to Resident Evil because 4, 5, and 6 went a completely different direction and was more action based, which obviously 6 is the weakest of them, but you know, 4 and 5 are really good, but it was more so about action and not about horror. And then Biohazard came out of nowhere and just, to me, it's arguably the scariest game I've ever played.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's sure such a good game.
It shot that stim pack back into freaking Resident Evil for sure.
That's a good reference right there. Yeah.
It did. And like for me, also with 8 and the 9 coming out, like this new trilogy, it's been incredible. Eight obviously is a little bit more action based than it is horror, but it still is scary. But like, yeah, Biohazard just, it really brought back like the puzzles and the fear and everything about it, which it's just a, such a good game.
True. And then Village does have the scariest moment in all of Resident Evil though. So at least
it does. It has the worst moment in gaming for me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'll never forget. I was actually shaking, and I was not okay for like 2 weeks after playing that part.
Yeah, no, that's still the hardest one to get through.
Yeah, and I recently played it again. Obviously, you know, the DLC, you got to play it in third person, and it was still like, I was like, oh god, I forgot this stupid part.
Yeah.
But yeah, Batman Arkham Asylum, like you just said, with how it was revolutionary, that's a revolutionary game for me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Spider-Man took that and refined it by a lot, but Batman Arkham Asylum is such a good game, and for Batman fans and, you know, for beat 'em up fans and like everything altogether, it's just it's an incredible game. Metal Gear Solid 3 has the best boss fights I've ever experienced. Knights of the Old Republic, that's just nostalgia, and like it's such a good story. It's so in depth, and like if you're a Star Wars fan, it's an important era. And it's an important game, but like, for me, honestly, out of all of these games, which might be surprising, I hold Disco Elysium higher than them all. I've been telling everybody about this game since I played it and beat it. It's like top 10 in like the 100 best games on IGN or whatever their list.
Came out 2019.
It's a very recent game, actually.
It's a very recent game, but it's. I've never played it's not an action game, it's not a puzzle game, so to speak. It's basically
a detective RPG.
Yeah, and it's I'll say it again, I've said it multiple times on this podcast. it's an incredibly inventive RPG in the sense that it doesn't matter what stats you pick or whatever you do, you can still play the game as whatever it is you choose in the beginning, and it doesn't really matter. At the end, basically the setup is you wake up, and you wake up drunk in a hotel room, and you don't remember who you are and how you got there, you're trying to solve a murder. Ooh. And the storyline is just so fucking good. Like they released it, and then they released the director's cut or the final cut. They added voice acting to it, which was like, I didn't play the original, but everybody said like after that it was like holy fuck. But I highly, highly recommend everybody and anybody play this game, because there's no better story that I've played in the last 5 years than Disco Elysium.
Next sale for the winter. I'm picking it up. I'm sold again. You sell me every time, but this time I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm going to give it a shot.
Dude, play it. I guarantee you'll be surprised, and it'll just take you on this like crazy journey. Like it's such. It was on Game Pass, and then it was just a free game for PlayStation. It's free right now for PlayStation. Anybody who has the extra tier or the premium tier for PS Plus, you can play this for free right now. The Final Cut. I highly, highly recommend it. I've been telling these guys about it, I would say for about a year and a half now.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's a truly incredible game.
That's so, no longer on Game Pass. God damn it. All right, fine. I'll get it. When it comes on the Switch, I'm definitely doing it.
Dude, you can get it on the Switch. It's always on sale. It goes on sale. Get for like $20. It goes for like
$13 actually on sale.
It's so worth it. Trust me. It's such a good game.
All right. Well, speaking of shit that we got on sale, now's time to talk about what we're playing. Hey, and then we're going to wrap up here. So, what are you playing? All right, I'm going to kick this one off. Mine's very simple. Two remasters. Super Mario RPG, or should I say one conversion, because it's also Red Dead Redemption. So with
you
this...
You fucking caved and you got the conversion?
It was on sale.
Oh, it was on sale. You gave him your money.
I gave him my money. You know what? I don't regret it one bit. Red Dead Redemption is an amazing game. I know. I fucked up. But I gotta say, this version looks fantastic. It's a really good. I forget also, like, Rockstar's game design hasn't really changed all that much. You know, everything still is like that. It's still Rockstar game, but it's very simple, which I actually appreciate about Red Dead Redemption. And honestly, sometimes just, you know, being a little high and exploring the West is a really good time. So there's that. But man, Mario RPG, that is a fun game. Like, I find myself like, I'm gonna play for a little bit and then just end up like, oh, cool. I got through this whole section right here. The combat is way enhanced compared to before. Like, the area of effect, the timing stuff, mm-hmm. it rewards yeah. you for paying attention. And yeah. yeah, and I forgot how fun the character, all the characters are phenomenal. Like, yeah. really, really well drawn out. The graphics look fantastic, and the new soundtrack, it's like a little orchestral, it's a little more polished, but it doesn't lose any of its flavor at all. Like, this game absolutely stands the test of time, and it's why I think Nintendo should give the original director one more shot, see what he can do with his modern sensibilities. But, you know, with the team behind this, like, this is truly, like, a one-of-a-kind game, and I'm glad more people have the chance to play it, and I think the best version of it possible. So that's my two great gaming time I've had despite being busy as shit. James, what you got?
I just wanted to comment on yours real quick. Mm-hmm. I do feel like, yes, all of that is true, except for I feel it's a little bit easier now because of the timing yeah. and all of that. I had a lot harder time playing it, the original. It's a lot more difficult, but yeah, everything you said is true. It's been fun, but yeah, I put it on the back burner because I beat Spider-Man 2, and then right now I'm currently playing Baldur's Gate 3 Ooh. And CS2. Mm-hmm. So since we last were here speaking about gaming, I ended up getting my laptop ended up dying. I ended up replacing it with a gaming laptop.
That's right.
Nice.
And because it was on Black Friday, my laptop died at possibly the best time during the year. And
it knew. It knew.
Yeah, the laptop that I have now is a gaming laptop. It's Asus, which I'm a big fan of, and basically had all of better specs and was the same price as the quote-unquote high-end laptops from every other company. So I've finally been able to play CS2, and I've been having a great time doing so.
Yeah, you know what? And on that, I will say, you know, I talked up earlier in my top games list is where the shit-talking started. You know, I said Smash Brothers mainly, but, you know, also shout-out to iSurf and Counter-Strike mm-hmm. 1 back yep. in the day, because that yep. actually, I think, is how me and James met.
Yes. Talking Counter-Strike. Shit. Yeah, Counter-Strike is the end-all, be-all, talk shit to your friends game, and that's exactly where it started. We all started in iSurf when we were, like, 13.
Yes. Yeah, we would just go to this little internet cafe in Riverside by the Best Buy yep. and the Jack in the Box. And, yep. you know, your pride was on the line. You paid for it.
Yep. So, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, we had plans.
You guys took this seriously.
We did. And then we talked, somehow got smashed.
So. Yeah. It just became, because we all started hanging out and then we all started drinking together yep. in high school. And then it was like, okay, we're playing Smash. But yeah, so Baldur's Gate 3, I'm like really deep into it now, and it's just getting better and better. The story's been so good. I'm really excited. I haven't been able to put it down for the last couple of weeks. And yeah, I will say the only drawback about Counter-Strike 2 is the community maps is a little messy for me. And if you play just a normal competitive mode, you're only allowed to play one game, and then it kicks you out to the main menu. And then you have to do the search all over, which is really annoying. So I don't think it's not as good or as fluid as the original CS was. Mm-hmm. But I'm still like, it's all nostalgia, like playing DDoS 2 and just like opping people. I'm like, it's taken me back to back in the day when I was just obsessed with playing this game. So uh-huh. yeah, that's what I've been playing.
I definitely feel it. All right, Ruben, what you playing?
Let's see. I'm still playing Lies of P. I know it's getting a lot of back and forth, but I think it's a freaking solid Souls-like game. I've also been playing this game that just came up on Game Pass, SteamWorld Build. It's kind of like
I heard about that one.
Yeah, it's a bit of a civilization game mixed with some mining stuff that you have to do, and it's cool because the mining, there's only certain materials that you need for building that you can only get in the mining, so it makes the civilization building and the mining very cohabit. You have to do both. Mm-hmm. And my only downside is that the building portion, the civilization building, is a little bit, I would say, it could be expanded upon, and I hope they do add some DLCs that add, like, different type of, I guess, citizens that could live in your place, because really there's only, like, three or four, but I'm hoping they add to that. But besides that, pretty solid game. And then I play Sea of Thieves on, like, Sundays and stuff. So nice. Sea of Thieves is always fun.
That sounds like a good little regimen right there. Hey, all right. Liza P, yeah, I took a little bit of a swing at it, but yeah, I got to give it another shot. I think right now my concentration cannot handle any Souls-like experiences because they just hurt me.
It is hard.
It's very hard.
It's weird. It's hard and easier at the same time. It's kind of a weird mix.
It's like it gives you good resources, but it also is like, okay, fucking use them now.
Yeah. You definitely have to use everything they give you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, gaming win of the month time. So for me, that would be honestly the good remasters I've had exposure to lately. And then this is more of a gaming win of the year. It's probably the best year ever for remasters and remakes. And the two games I've been playing could not be a better example. And of course, I would say Nexus Mods also for booting out White Nationalists from their Baldur's Gate 3 mods. You guys hear about this?
I did not.
Yeah, so there was this, these White Nationalists were making a Baldur's Gate 3 mods that took out, that changed the skin color from all the black and brown characters to white.
What?
And,
why?
Yeah. And they also got removed any queer, any other sexual. They made everything heterosexual.
Do you even play D&D? Why are you playing Baldur's Gate?
I know.
What the fuck? Like,
No, they made it their mission.
The D&D vein in my brain just now. Like, what are you doing?
their reasoning was like, we want to make this as close to medieval life and reasonability as possible, so we're going to make sure everyone's white. And
yeah, because they were alive then, yeah, so exactly. They fucking know.
Oh, exactly. Again, with all the bear fucking and things like that, it's great, yeah. So, yeah, no, and then Nexus Mods was like, listen, like, you guys are making this game far more hateful with your modding, and we believe in free speech, but we don't have to host it on our fucking platform, and they removed it and told them to go fuck off.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Nexus Mods, way to go, bros. I dig it. And also the remasters. So, yeah, those are my wins. All right, what you got, James?
My win is basically that GTA didn't make us have to wait for the new trailer and just released it because it was leaked. And instead of being like, well, we're going to still release it the next day, they did the right thing and just released it in 4K in all its glory. And everybody got to watch it a whole half day early. So hats off to Rockstar for doing that. Because now we all got to watch it and everybody got to talk about it collectively. So, yeah, that's
an extra day for meme building right there. So, you know, I'm with you.
Exactly.
All right, Ruben, what's your win this month, if you got one?
Yeah, I'm going to give it, again, I know I've already been talking about them. I'm going to give it to the Lies of P team. There was a lot of, I wouldn't say bugs, but a lot of stuff that was needing fixed with the game. And they've been listening to the community, NeoWitz Games, or NeoWitz, is that what it's called? Yeah, NeoWiz. And they've been, I think in the last couple months the game's been out, they've been consistently making patches and making the game more fun. So I'll give them a win. Like, in their noticeable differences that you, I granted they took out a couple of bugs that people have been using to like kind of cheat the game.
Good little exploitation bugs, yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, I wouldn't say that I've used a little bit myself, but. besides that, I feel like the game's just getting better, and I'm hoping they come out with some DLC, because the ending, I won't spoil it, but the ending of that game did allude to, because Liza P is based on, the P is for Pinocchio, they're puppets. They can't say Pinocchio, because technically the name Pinocchio is trademarked by Disney, but the story of Pinocchio isn't. I don't know how that works, but... So they could basically tell the whole story without saying Pinocchio.
Okay.
Well, so on that note, it's probably because they have to wait 100 years until the character can enter into the public domain. So I think Pinocchio came out in 19. When did it come out?
It was, ages ago. Yeah. It's a French newspaper.
So 1940 is when Disney made it. So they probably own the rights to the name. And that's probably why. It's the same thing with... so they released a horror movie called The Mean One, which was basically horror Grinch, but they never called him the Grinch. And so basically it's a parody of it. So as long as it's considered a parody and you don't actually say the property's name, you can get away with it.
It's legal.
Okay.
Exactly. Well,
the caveat, the reason for that conversation is that the end of Liza P did allude to other universes that are well known. I won't say which ones, but like it does seem like it's trying to build a fantasy story universe, so I'm really excited for that. I won't say what it is, just if you really want to know, just watch the end videos. They're out there in YouTube, but
okay.
don't dismiss yourself of the privilege of finding out how.
Can I guess one?
Yeah, I'll give you two guesses, and if you don't get it, I will never tell you.
Okay, Jack and the Beanstalk.
No.
Oh.
Damn.
Think more mainstream.
I got one.
Yeah.
Lies of D, fucking Pink Elephants, the whole shit.
That would low-key be kind of crazy.
Wait, is it other fairy tale stories or?
It's a fairy tale, but it's not specifically Disney, I would say.
Okay. I don't know then. Mother Goose.
You're closer?
Okay, that's good.
Oh, whoa,
closer.
Hey. Okay. All right, I'll take, tell you. You know what? I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm down with
it. But it's super dope. I'm really hoping that, I mean, it's gotten a lot of view. I feel like there's a lot of coverage on it on YouTube and stuff. So I'm hoping that it sparks another Souls-like series.
Okay. I mean, you know, we got to support these developers that actually do patch their games and make them good and, you know, keep trying here. So, you know, I'm with it. Maybe I'll give it a shot. Maybe I'll see. Reshot. Okay, cool. So just to wrap up here, we got our fail of the month. Mine is very clearly the Embracer Group. I specifically wanted to leave this at the end because they are closing down, and they're confirming this, Free Radical Entertainment, which was working on Time Splitters 4.
Oh, that sucks.
Time Splitters 4? Nah. I guess it's done. Free Radical, who's been around since the first Time Splitters, and they were the offshoot team from GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, has been doing amazing things with first-person shooters. And Embracer Group overstretched their fucking boundaries, and it was closing a legendary studio. You guys can fuck off. That's my fail, for sure. I know, that one hurts.
That sucks.
James, sorry, tears are running down my eyes. Like, you get it.
Yeah, that sucks, man. That would have been cool to see that game come out.
I agree. Hard agree. Yeah. All right, well, what you got?
mine is still related to GTA 6, and my fail is that it's not coming out till 2025.
Mm.
That really sucks. Obviously, nobody was expecting them to drop a trailer, and they're going, congrats, it's coming out December,
yeah,
or, you know, the end of the month. But I did fully expect it to be coming out in fall of 2024, and it's really a bummer that it's not going to be coming out till 2025. And I don't know if you guys had seen it, but people were saying that they discovered the release date for it on a shirt in the game.
Oh. Okay.
Let me try to find it real quick.
Where did they find that? In the trailer?
Yeah, so there was a shirt that indicated exactly when the trailer was going to come out. Let's see. Release date.
Oh, well.
Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Okay. That's an interesting way to get the reveal right there. So.
Okay, yeah. So it, apparently... let's see. Where is the stupid?
We will post on our stories, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, so it's supposed to be coming out on April Fool's Day, looks like.
Oh.
Yeah. April 1st, 2025. Again, if it's April Fool's, that might just be them dicking with everybody. But regardless of that, they already announced in the trailer that it won't be coming out till 2025. And like we were joking around, me and Jim were in the thread the other day. They'll probably announce that it's going to be released in spring of 2025, and then they're going to push it back to fall of 2025. That is what usually happens with Rockstar because they don't like to release inferior products, and I'm fine with them doing so. But at the same time, it's just a really big bummer that we're going to have to wait that long to play this game.
Yeah, that's 12-year difference, and, you know, I was...
Yeah.
It's going to be weird being like, oh, I was closer to 30 when I played the game for GTA 5. I'm like, I'm closer to 40 when I played GTA 6. Ugh. Oh, that hurts a little bit. All right.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a fail. Okay. All right, Ruben, what you got for your fail of the month?
I'll leave Bethesda alone and just let them revel in their failure. The only other game I really played that I tried was Exo Primal. Did you see that on Game Pass at all?
No, I heard about it. I never didn't even try it. No.
It was kind of weak. It looked good on... It was like communism. It looked good on paper, but when in practication, it was kind of bad. It's very, it's very, how do I explain it? It's very, I don't know. You have these exosuits that you could change. I did like that you could change in and out of the exosuits at will, so you could basically change your character class during the middle of the games.
Okay.
But there was a lot of balancing issues, and there was clearly suits that were stronger than others, and it was just, it was an okay play for like a day or two, and then you can see the clear power level difference, so it kind of turns you off to it. Not saying that was good or anything, just, you know, it makes the game less fun when people you're playing against have obviously better suits, and I like this suit because it looks cool, but it sucks.
Yeah, it really takes the fun, I think, out of the game.
So, yeah, so yeah. I say it was a grand, if you don't know the premise of Exoprimal, you're like exosuits and you fight against either other people or dinosaurs, mass floods of dinosaurs. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It sounded cool, but I don't think it did the execution correctly, so I'll give a fail to that.
Damn, I think I was actually waiting for that. That's Capcom one, right? Fuck.
Yeah.
I was actually waiting for that one. Oh, that's a little heartbreaking.
They had a beta on the
Game Pass, huh?
For the longest, yeah, and then it just kind of came. Maybe they'll fix it, who knows, but when I played it, it was just kind of lackluster.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay. Well, fuck, they got time to fix it, so, you know, whatever. But, you know, at least the concerns are aired. Capcom, I hope you're listening. I guess listen every week. Ribbon knows.
Somebody there listens.
Yeah. All right. And we're going to wrap up, ladies and gentlemen, with our absurd headline of this week. Quote, as the Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer drops, Elon Musk says he's never been able to get into GTA because he can't bring himself to commit virtual crimes. He apparently tried 5, but because he had to shoot at police officers in the opening scene, he never finished even that portion of the game. Now, there's no news confirming if he shares the same feelings regarding white-collar crimes, especially regarding the Department of Justice's inquiries from September to his finances, and, of course, the stock manipulation attempted for buying Twitter. He, you know, so all crimes might not be equal in his eyes. We don't know yet. But he definitely can't shoot fake cops in a world that doesn't exist. He's just not about that, I guess. So...
Yeah. What a weird morality needle to have.
That's true, yeah. I don't know. Way to go. I'm kind of tired of him being in the news, but I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that is really random.
Yeah, yeah. Again, very, very absurd. But yeah, that's it, guys. That's the NPC Gaming Podcast for this portion of December. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our own Game of the Year winners and a couple other little awards on our next show, so look out for that one. And I will, of course, be at the Game Awards actually the day after this drops, so, you know, I'll come back with some headlines or some stories from my experience at the Game Awards. But this has, of course, been a production of the Horrible People's Network, of course, one of a slew of shows that we have here. Of course, my two hosts got their own. I'm Anthony. I'm on the Horrible People's Podcast. So, you know, you can find me talking about scary movies every week on there. Ruben, thank you so much for coming on, man. Where can these motherfuckers find you?
Thanks for having me. If you want to follow me around, just because I'm weird and I post weird stuff all the time, you can find me on Instagram at RECMatrix. I like anime, lifting weights, playing with fire, all kinds of different stuff. So come follow me. I'm also part of the Turning Tables podcast. I'm one of the DMs. I play with James here. He's one of our character players, and he's probably one of the best role players I've ever played with.
Hey.
Yeah, you catch us on there at Turning Tables Pod on Instagram. And then also my solo podcast is Plot Armor Plus, where a version of myself that's been cloned, at least I hope he's the clone, he is up in space being forced to watch different crazy anime. So if you want to hear short reviews on some animes you may or may not heard of, come give me a listen. That's Plot Armor Plus.
That's and a yeah, great
that's,
name.
That's where I'm at.
Great Thanks. Name. Nice. All right, James, where can they find you?
Yeah, as Ruben said, before he complimented me, which is very nice of him, I'm one of the players on Turning Tables Podcast, which you can find us on Instagram, Turning Tables Pod. Please go give us a listen because it's a hell of a lot of fun. All of us together, I feel like we have a really good fake rapport with each other when we're playing, so give us a listen. Sometimes I'm a guest on the Horrible People's Podcast. You'll have to go dig a little deep to find those episodes because they don't like me right now. They haven't invited me back.
You're gone on next month.
I don't recall this conversation.
We talked about this on this episode, on this podcast.
Apparently, I'm going back next month.
Resident Evil 5.
Okay. Resident Evil 5.
Congratulations. You've been voluntold.
Yeah. That's about it.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Nothing else to say. Peace out.
Bye.
Thanks.